I got notes in three different places on my iPad, and I had to keep poking the buttons till I found the right place. And in the process of that, you all just got quiet. Wow. Wow. Hey, did you know that there was a birthday this past Thursday, I think? Yeah, somebody turned 50. Yeah. Hey, man. Sharon, don't set me up like that now. I might take advantage of it. No. Oh, I'm so tempted, Sharon. Y'all pray for me right now, will you? Yeah, 36 years ago you turned 50? 36? Sorry. Don Heron turned 50, and I gave him a birthday card that said, you know, 60. He did not think it was funny. Let's see, Teresa, didn't you have a birthday?
I wish it was 50.
It's not?
Great not.
Oh. Happy birthday. You're very welcome. Praise God. Michelle's was Friday? And we're not going to talk about how old you turned, right? You got 28. We'll just go with what your husband says. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory. I'm glad you're here today. And I believe that as the day keeps going on, you'll be gladder and gladder and gladder that you're here. Amen. Because I think you're glad already. Let's pray and then turn into God's word. Father, we love you. We worship you and we praise you. And Father, I just thank you for giftings. I thank you for graces. I thank you for callings. I thank you that you have called me to be a pastor. You've called me to teach, Father. It's a privilege and an honor, and I don't take it lightly. I purpose to step fully into that office and to do what you have for me to do. I thank you that you have forgiven me for the times and the places where I've fallen short. I thank you that you're merciful. I just thank you, God, and I thank you. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who graces each one of us to do our job. Father, not to think that anything is of ourselves. We realize that, Father. But the Bible then goes on to tell us, but you have made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter that kills, but of the Spirit that gives life. So I thank you, Father, for that sufficiency that you've given to me, and you've actually given it to every one of us in this room, because every one of us has a ministry, Father, and we know that. Thank you for the sufficiency. Thank you for words of life and words that bring life. We praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Well, I was last Sunday when church got out, dear friend of mine who I have such great respect for, I hold him in high regard, said something to me, and there was nothing negative about this at all. It was totally positive. And he said, you know, Pastor, great message. I've heard it before, but great message. And I'm just thankful to people who are willing to keep hearing the same truths until those truths just keep seeking into us more and more and more and more. And it really blessed me. It really encouraged me, you know, understanding, yeah, and, you know, good to hear. And then sometimes I get on a path, and it's like I get on a certain subject matter, and I can't get away from it. I'm trusting that it's God keeping me there. And all week long, I've been wondering, you know, and just kind of trying to listen, and what Father should I speak on? And it just ended up being some of the same stuff. Some of the same stuff. So here we go, and we're going to start out this morning with kind of where we left off last Sunday, but take your Bibles and open up to the book of James. James chapter 1, and I was telling Michelle, she set up my message perfectly. Oh, she just did it right for me. Speak words of life. Speak words of life. Speak words of life in every situation. But in James chapter 3, we'll just start reading at verse 3 and go to verse 5. James chapter 3, verse 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so the tongue. Okay, what's the comparison here? The comparison here is our tongue is just like the rudder on that ship. Our tongue is just like the bit in that horse's mouth. And then I got this illustration from an instructor down at Rhema. I've been listening to him online, Keith Moore. And he said, you know, if this was written today, they might read something like this. And the steering wheel on your car, even though it's a small piece of the car, that whole car goes wherever the steering wheel is turned. And just got the thought, you know, if you want to go a different direction, turn the wheel. How many of you want your life to go in a certain direction? Take your tongue, take your mouth, take your lips, and steer your life in the direction that you want to go. And I'll just put this in here again. This is true. You know, the words we speak out of our mouth, they matter. The words we speak out of our mouth, God hears them. We'll get into some of that today as we go along. The words we speak out of our mouth contain life or death. You know, and the words that we speak out of our mouth can impact and affect, or let me say, will impact and affect every area of our life. How many people in here have talked already this morning? Every one of us. Our mouth, our tongue is something we use every day. It's something we use every day. It's important. And you look at these scriptures, you know, and if the truth, if the subject matter that we're talking about and looking at isn't right and isn't true, you'd have to throw literally hundreds of scriptures out of the Bible. You'd just have to get rid of scripture after scripture after scripture because the Bible talks about the impact and the effect that our words have on our life. Amen? And if you want your life to go a certain direction, get your words going in that direction. Even so the tongue. It's a small member set among us, but it sets the course of our life. Amen? You know, just think about it. Even though the tongue is a little member, boasts of great things. How great a forest a little fire kindles. Boy, I think about that being a logger. And I think about Yellowstone. And years ago, back in 88, some logger outside of Yellowstone Park didn't put his cigarette out sufficient. And that little cigarette butt was a key factor in those fires in Yellowstone that year. How hard is it to put out a cigarette? It is not that hard. It is doable. Amen? It is doable. You know what we can take with that? It is doable. It is doable. I can do with this thing what is right. Amen. And do you know what the bad chicken did? How many of you know what the bad chicken did? It laid deviled eggs. It just ran through my mind, so you had to stick it in there. That's a dad joke. Man, dad jokes are good. Anyway, all right. Even so, the tongue. Turn the wheel. Turn the wheel. I want to move with a bit of brevity, but let me read some things I wrote down. Turn the wheel in the way you want to go. The rest of you will follow. Turn the wheel in the way you want to go. The rest of you will follow. Many of you, you know, I just real briefly here. I have confession in my life over areas of my life that a lot of people don't preach about. You probably won't hear this on, you know, TV. But I have confession over my life concerning my temper, which I don't have anymore. You know, I have shared this. I was one of those people that was given to an explosive temper. I would throw tools across the garage. I would go over and pick those tools up and throw them back across the garage. My wife did not like it when I would change the oil in the car. She would start praying. Because, you know, something go wrong, something's going to fly. Not just words, but tools and other things. I was just given to temper. This had explosive temper, you know. Then I started to learn what the Word of God said. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 5. Love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. I just confess that. I'd just say that. Did I feel it? That was my temper, man. Love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. And then Corinthians 10:13. Love is patient. Love is patient. Love is patient. That's part of my confession. Love is patient. Love is patient. Love is patient. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. I am patient. I am patient. I am patient. See, when I'm talking about confession, I'm talking about all aspects of life. I talked about, turn the wheel. My makeup, my character, my personality was such that I was not patient. So what did I start to do? Turn the wheel. I am patient. I am patient. I am patient. Very few people today see me explode. And you know what happens? Today, very rarely do I explode. I don't remember the last time I had a fit. I don't. Praise God. Honey, can you remember the last time I had a hissy fit? Yeah. I just remembered it. I remembered it. We got to go back to coming back from Timberlake one night. How many years ago was that? 8 years ago. I wasn't yelling at her. I was yelling at me. But we're probably talking, well, how long have Bryce and Colette been there, Rick? So it's more than that. I just praise God. Amen. I turn the wheel. Turn and look at somebody and say, turn the wheel. Turn the wheel. Turn the wheel. So I started turning the wheel. Maybe this should be the title of my sermon, Follow the Leader. Because you know what? Where this thing goes, the rest of my body is going to follow. My life is going to go also. Your body will go where your mouth takes you. Your life will go where your mouth takes you. Yes, your words will take you places. Amen. This is kind of a weird way. I can't say it all, but I got pulled over one night by a police officer. Long, 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 long time ago, folks. Okay? Got pulled over by a police officer, and I had done wrong again. And this police officer knew me well. And my words, they got me out of trouble. He was just, he was frustrated with me. I said, well, yeah, I messed up again. Just even the acknowledgement of me messing up again, just instead of arguing with him and fighting with him, I messed up again. He goes, well, finally, you're beginning to understand these are mess-ups. Just for that word out of your mouth, I'm going to let you go. Woohoo! Amen? So, anyway, I want to do something really, really quick. Really, really quick. Head with me to Mark 4, really quick. Mark 4. I got to hurry a little bit. Mark 4. When I talk about the words that we speak out of our mouth, when I talk about the things we say, when I talk about the things that we confess, I wanted us to understand something about the words that we speak out of our mouth that's really, really important. Because sometimes people want to skip stages. They want to skip parts of this. But let's see. Let's do this. I said, Mark, you're right in the neighborhood. Go to Mark chapter 5 real fast. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I want to start with verse 25. I'm going to read quick. And when I read this and I go fast, so just work with me here. I want you to notice four tools. I'm looking for four tools specifically in these verses of Scripture that I read. There are four tools that believers can use. And so I will just start at Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Okay, her life is going in a certain direction, isn't it? Let's keep reading. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and she touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing that in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling inside of herself, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." I think does anybody see her turning the wheel? How many of you saw her turn the wheel? How did she turn the wheel? "If I can just touch the hem of his garment." She had been in this for 12 years. She had spent all that she had. She was no better, but rather grew worse. What direction was her car going? Okay, but then there's four tools she used. And I like to go over this. I like this because I like giving people things they can use for their life. Here's the first tool. She heard. She heard about Jesus. She heard the word. She heard the truth about Jesus. She heard. Ears to hear. A heart to hear. An ability to be, you know, to be teachable, to learn things, to keep taking things in. That was the first tool she had. Then the second tool she had, we could see what it is. She had a mouth to say. She had a mouth to speak. Based on what she heard, she changed what she said. Okay? She changed what she said based on what she heard. "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well, and I will live." Wow. Praise God. She was made whole. She was made whole. She had life. Her whole life, she turned the wheel. Turn and look at someone and say, "Turn the wheel. Turn the wheel." I gave the servants council permission. I asked them, "You hear me talking negative about a certain subject matter, call me on it. Call me on it. You hear me talking negative, call me on it." Amen. How many of you in here would give other people permission to do that? To call you on it. Call me on it. Am I speaking death or am I speaking life? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, so she had ears to hear. She had a mouth to speak. What are two other tools that she had? Here's another tool. And she made her way through the crowd and she touched the hem of a garment. She had a body to do. Everybody say a body to do. A body to do. One of the complaints about confession and the message of confession is, well, you just sit around all day, don't do anything, and just say stuff. If somebody's teaching that, they're leaving out critical elements. This lady had ears to hear, a mouth to speak, and a body to do. In other words, what? She put action to her faith. She put action to her words. She was physically getting up and doing something. Turn and look at somebody and say, "Get up and do something." I was reminded of a little plaque on the door of our house. This is the house I grew up in. You would go out the door of the dining room, and on the door was a little plaque. And you read it multiple times a day when you went out the door. Lead follower, get the heck out of the way, but do something. I mean, that's what we grew up with. Don't just stand there. Yeah, that's how the whole thing. Don't just stand there. Lead follower, get the heck out of the way. Hey, man, just, you know, how many of you know, we got ears to hear, a mouth to speak, and a body to do. Turn and look at somebody and say, "Do!" Hey, man, do. And then what was the last tool that she had? She had a heart to believe. She used those four things. And one of the things about the words that we speak out of our mouth, there's different stages of that. We're in different elements of our growth. Now back up to Mark chapter 4. I just want you to notice this really quick. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 21. And he said to them, Mark 4, 21. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought and put under a basket?" No. Jump down. Sorry, my bad. Verse 26. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself. First," everybody say first. first the blade, now say then. Then the head, after that, everybody say after that. The full grain in the head, verse 29. But when, everybody say when. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts the sickle in because the harvest has come. Now, what do we get here? There's a process. Amen? There's a process here. Just again, real quick. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripened, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Well, what you need to do is understand in the process of working with our words and turning the steering wheel, that everything doesn't instantly turn around. And in this chapter here, he's talking about the sower sowing seed. And he's talking about seeds being planted and things growing. Amen? I realize this. In part of my process as a Christian, one of the things I needed to do was I needed to hear the truth. I needed to hear the truth. I needed to hear that truth and let that truth get down in my heart. And I knew what was going on. A seed was being planted. A seed was being planted. And come on, folks, in the natural, we realize that you plant a seed one day and harvest it the next. No, doesn't happen that way. But you plant that seed and you know it's got to do something. You know it's got to put down the root system. You know it's going to come up, and when it comes up right at first and you see that little bit of green, you're not going to harvest it. Okay, so I know when I'm speaking words, I'm planting the seed. Now I'm watering that seed. Now I'm watering that seed. Now I'm watering that seed. And I'm in that stage. I'm in that process. That's where I'm at with the things that I'm saying out my mouth. I know it's not harvest time. It's not time for me to put the sickle in. One of the problems is a lot of people try to put the sickle in, and they've never really planted, and they've never really watered. And they're trying to put the sickle in, and stuff doesn't work. And they get frustrated. Know where you're at. You know, Betsy, I've heard about your garden. Never got to see it. I've got to eat some of the fruit of it. But you guys work hard on that garden. It's a beautiful garden. And you know what season you're in, don't you? It's planting season. It's watering season. It's keep the weeds out. Season. Ugh, not my favorite season at all. But then when harvest time comes. Amen. And I've heard you share about you and Kim down there quickly getting that harvest in. Getting that harvest in. I'd say this. I think there's only one time that it's always harvest season. You want to know when it's always harvest season? Reaching the lost. Jesus said, look up. The fields are white unto harvest. Folks, it's always time to be ready to lead someone to the Lord. Always. There's always somebody out there ready to get saved. And I know I'm still planting seed in some people's lives and watering in some people's lives, but there is always somebody out there ready to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's always harvest season. Amen. Brian, I thought you'd like that. It's always. Because you talked to Brian very long, and man, it's about telling people about Jesus and getting them to come to him. Burns in his heart. Amen? There's other areas of life that we're going through. What am I doing? I'm planting a seed, and I'm watering it. I'm planting a seed, and I'm getting it to grow. Do you think I instantly went from this explosive temper that I had to calm? Well, it was probably about a 5, 6, 7 year process. And I'd do good for 2, 3 months, and then, oh boy. Repent, and then do good again for a long stretch. Now I'm on about a 7 or 8 year run. Glory to God. I tell you what, my wife and children love it. And do you know how many of areas, this is what's so important, how many areas of my life were radically affected because I dealt with one troublesome area? That troublesome area of my temper radically affected my children in a negative way. Very negative way. It radically affected the relationship that my wife and I had in a negative way. Oh, the numbers of areas in your life that can get better because you will deal with God, what God is talking about dealing with. Amen? How many of you ever have God talk to you about dealing with a certain area? turn and look at somebody and say, well, then deal with it, would you? Yeah, go ahead. Just turn and would you please deal with it? I mean, you'll be the better off for it. And people around you will be so much happier. Preach it back there. Okay. All right. Oh. Hallelujah. So understand where you are in the process. And I love this. Go with me quickly, please. 1 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6. How many of you are going to give me more time today? Because I got preaching this morning at home. And you know what? We haven't got there yet. But go with me real quick. I want to bring this out. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 5, and 6. I want you to turn there. It's worth noticing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This fits in with what we're talking about. 1 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord God gave to each one? Verse 6. I love this. I planted. So what did Paul do? Paul went around planting seed. Paul went around telling people. Paul was often the first person in a place throwing down seed in people's hearts, in people's lives. I planted. Apollos what? Watered. Apollos came along behind and just kept watering that seed, just confirming, kept repeating, kept saying what Paul had said. Now notice the next part. But God caused the growth. Oh, folks, right in there is good news. Right in there is good news. Because what did God do with the seed that was planted and watered? He caused it to grow. He caused the increase. Amen? What'll happen if you plant and you water? There's a parable over there in Mark chapter 4 that I didn't read. To what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we picture? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed of all. But when it is sown, it grows. But when it is sown, it grows. You know what God will do? You sow it, God will grow it. Oh, I tell you what, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love the fact that God is involved. Just think about God's involved. God's a part of it. God's in the mix. God's in the mix of our words. He's right there. He's a part of it. God caused the growth. God caused the increase. How many of you know if you do your part, he'll do his part? Amen. Amen? So how many of you are going to talk some more today? How many of you are not going to say another word all day long? So what you going to say? You going to speak God's word? You going to plant some seed? You going to water some seed? And you going to let God cause some growth? And then you get a harvest? Hallelujah. Now, will you let me, because I could stop right here and maybe save till next week what I got so excited about. Or you'll let me keep going. Amen. Now, knowing that if I keep going, I need about another 20 minutes maybe. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what I wanted to hear. Would have been great if it was throughout the sanctuary, but no, I'm kidding. God, guys, I want us to get a hold of this. Our words don't just hang around down here on the earth. Our words make their way up into the presence of God Almighty. They get there. How many of that verse of scripture over in Matthew chapter 12, 38 and 39? Oh, I'm so close. Oh, I'm right there. 36 and 37. Jesus said, listen to this. Jesus said, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. What? What did he just say? But this is Jesus talking. Do words matter? Jesus, Matthew 12, 36, but I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Look at 37. For by your words, you will be justified, or by your words, you will be condemned. That's Jesus talking to us, amen? How much do our words matter? Wow! Justification or condemnation? And who gets to pick? Hallelujah, I'm glad he gave me that choice. You all doing okay? I'm glad I got that choice and not the devil. Anybody else glad you got that choice and not the devil? All right, well, you said I could go more. Here we go, here we go. Take your Bibles, open them up to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. I'll purpose to shorten some things here a little bit, but I don't want to too much. Malachi chapter 2, last book in the Old Testament, right before Matthew. Malachi chapter 2, it's a little bitty one. It's only got four chapters in there. Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. Listen to this. Malachi 2, 17. I want to make sure you get there so your eyes can fall upon the scripture. Malachi 2, 17. You have wearied me. You have wearied the Lord with your words. What'd they do with their words? They wearied God. What is it to be wearied? Tired? Now, we know God never gets physically tired, amen? But you think he got tired of hearing some stuff? They wearied him with their words. I do not want to weary God with my words. How about you? I don't want God to get tired of hearing me say certain things. You ever get tired of hearing someone talk? What do? Tune them out? Leave the room? Say goodbye? I gotta go. Hope you have a nice day. Trust it's getting better. Amen. He got weary. He got tired. He does. Our words don't just hang out here on the earth. They make their way into heaven, folks. You have wearied me with your words. Yet you say, in what have we wearied you? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. Wow, I'll tell you what. You know what? There's some people saying people are good when what they're doing is evil in the sight of God. He doesn't like that. You know, there's a scripture says there's going to be a day, and I think we're in it, when what's evil is called good and what's good is called evil. I tell you, you watch the news and you listen to some people talk, and there's people saying, well, that's good. It's evil. Folks, abortion is evil. It's evil. But there's people saying it's good. It's evil. You know what that is? That's wearying God with words. He didn't like it. There's a lot of things he doesn't like. Amen? I want to make sure I'm speaking life. Everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he who delights in them. Where is the God of justice? You know, some people start to wonder if God's actually even involved. Well, like somebody said one time, I heard it, thought it years ago. You know, you have a school shooting. And now you heard it again. You heard it again. Where's the question? You know, you heard the question again. It was on the news. Where's God? And like different people have said for years, you asked him to leave years ago. I think about this. Okay. I loved what I heard, what this one fellow said. Oh, man, I'm meddling now. It's too late. You remember how many of you, when you were in school back in the 70s, some kid would pull up to the parking lot and he'd have a gun rack in the back window. And he'd have guns in his back window. No problem. And them guns didn't climb out of that window, go in the school and shoot things up. You didn't hear about it. But what happens today? We got messes like we just had down in Florida. What changed? The guns or the people? And then one guy, oh man. You know, this young man, he was bullied. Right? We heard that. He was teased and he was picked on. Who teased him? Who bullied him? That's an interesting thought. Amen. Probably happened to him in school. How many of you know you're never going to stop the bully? You're not going to stop the bully. You're not going to stop the bully. Now, is bullying right? No, it's always wrong. It's always wrong. But how many of you know there's a higher level to take it to? And you know what this is? For people to be so secure in who they are in Christ that the bully can talk and it doesn't change me. Because you know what? You'll never stop the devil from being a bully. He will always be a bully. And he will always talk. But when we're so secure on who we are in Jesus Christ, it's not going to change us. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Well, I didn't mean to get there, but we did. And I know how we got there. You want to know how we got there? I went there. That's it. It's pretty simple. My words, yep. Went right there. Talked and went right there. Isn't that amazing? Thank you for saying that, Scott. I appreciate that. Yep, your words took you right there. All right, Malachi chapter 3. Can we do a little bit about how cool God is? And this, I have kind of a different sense of humor sometimes, but Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I just find this a little bit humorous. I find it funny. Malachi 3, verse 6, it says this, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." God, I am so glad that you don't change. Because you know what would happen to me if God changed? I'd be consumed. How many of you are glad he doesn't change? Therefore, we're not consumed. You know, because we really can't go pointing the finger at a bunch of other folks and thinking we just never got any problems. I'm just so thankful for the blood of Jesus that forgave me. But anyway, let me keep going. Listen to this. And you might think God's a little bit irritated here, huh? For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet, from the days of your father, you have gone away from my ordinances. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in what shall we return? See, they don't even know that they've left. They don't even know that they've gone away. We're right here, God. I haven't gone anywhere. It's so funny. I'll see people. And, they used to come to church. And then they'll say, well, man, Pastor, where you been? I've been right where I always been. Where you been? You know, some people, God, where you been? Where was God in all of this? They moved away from him. They didn't want him anymore. You know, there's people they think they're just right close to God, but they moved away. In this case here, you know, from the days of your father, you have gone away from my ordinances. You know what they did? They left the word. They left the word. They left what he said. They went away from his word. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in what shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? You might get nervous when God starts quoting you in a conversation. That's what he's doing. You know, he's quoting them. He's quoting what they said. But you say, in what have we robbed you in tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now I said, just the nature of God, the goodness of God. You know, and we haven't left words yet, you guys. I hope you're still okay. We haven't left words. They were irritating God. They were bothering him. You know, they had left him. And so he corrects them. And then he what's he trying to do? He's trying to get a blessing to them. He's trying to get them back in a spot where they got the windows of heaven open, and he's pouring out such blessings that they can't contain. You know, even when God's ticked off with us, he's trying to get us back into his blessings. Oh, I love you, God. I love you, God. Even when I am messing up and doing stupid stuff, you have a heart for me to be back in your blessings. Thank you, God. That's the nature of God. That's the character of God. He's so good. Yeah, he's ticked off with them, but guess what he's trying to do? Get them blessed. Get them back in the right spot. Amen. Turn and look at somebody and say, God's good. Okay. All right. Amen. He's going to open up the windows of heaven. He's going to rebuke the devourer. He's going to bless them. Jump with me down to verse 16. Verse 16, talking about words, and they just don't hang out here on the earth. Verse 16, watch this. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord what? And the Lord listened to them. How many of us in here fear the Lord? Amen. You know what? He's listening. Turn and look at someone and say, he's listening. Now here, you want to have some fun? Let me read more here. And the Lord listened and heard them. Now watch. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord. What'd God start doing? He started writing a book. He started writing a book about the people who feared the Lord. He started writing down what they were saying. Wow. Some people weary the Lord with their words. Some people inspire him to write a book. What would you rather do? I'd rather inspire him to write a book. Amen. Hallelujah. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord. I think someday, oh, hallelujah. I'm getting excited, you guys. Trying to contain it, but I'm getting excited. For those who fear the Lord and who meditate or who esteem his name. Now notice verse 17. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I will make them my jewels. And all of this is based on what and comes out of what? Words. Words that we say. Oh, wow. Now, I had a reference in here, and this reference took me to a verse that's been a verse that I've loved for years. Take in your Bible, head to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. When I saw the reference, I said to myself this morning, I said, I know that reference. I know that reference. I know where he's going. I know where he's taking us. You know, and it said, They listened to each other, those who fear the Lord, and they listened to each other. They spoke to each other word. They had words that they say to each other. We're going to get a glimpse of the words that they said to each other that feared the Lord, that caused the Lord to write them a book. Hebrews chapter 3. Oh, I got my dancing shoes on. Amen. Every pair of shoes I own is dancing shoes. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Look at this. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Anybody ever heard me preach this verse before? Often. It's an important verse. It's a powerful verse. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Look at verse 13. This was the reference, Hebrews 3, 13. The words that they spoke. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. You know what God writes down? God writes down the words of life and the words of encouragement and the words of truth that we speak back and forth to each other. When somebody's in the middle of a storm, when somebody's in the middle of the battle, and we're up there telling them, by Jesus' stripes you're healed. By Jesus' stripes you're healed. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. Amen? You know what God does? He's hearing that, and he's writing it down. And he likes it. It's one of the things with Karen. You know, standing in faith for Karen. Karen's battling cancer. And she's winning. And one of the things I do, every time I go see Karen, every time I talk to her on the phone, a couple things. One, I never ask her how she's doing. I never ask her how she's feeling. And I can honestly say, Karen, man, you look good today. And she does. She's got that beautiful silver hair. Just that gorgeous silver hair. It's so attractive. It's so beautiful. Her skin is just so sweet. It's so soft. It's just so nice. It's Karen. Man, you look good today. Then we'll start talking scripture. By Jesus' stripes, you're healed. By Jesus' stripes, you're healed. You know what God's doing? Write this down. You know what Karen wants me to say when I walk in her house? You know what Karen wants all of us to say when we walk in her house? By Jesus' stripes, you're healed. He sent his word and healed you. I walked into Joan Dunnick's house one time, one of the times when I walked into her house, and I just started quoting scripture to her. She got so excited. Amen. Someone just walk in my front door, quote the word of God to me. Just loved every minute of it. You know what? God loves it too. And think about it. Beware, brethren, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I like to just put it this way. You want to help people stay out of a hardened heart and the deceitfulness of sin? Speak words of life to them. Speak words of life to them. Speak words of life to them. And you know what God's doing? He's writing that, having that written down in a book. And you know what he's doing? He's thinking, that's one of my jewels. That's one of my jewels. That's one of my jewels. Why don't you turn and look at him and say, I'm one of his jewels. Why? Because I am speaking his word to my fellow brother and sister in the Lord. I'm speaking the truth to people. I don't know about you, but I get excited. I think about this. I think about this. How many of you know this is real? How many of you know this is true? There is going to be a day and God is going to pick people and say, you're one of my jewels. You're one of my jewels. How am I one of your jewels? You spoke my word. You stuck with what I said. You hung in there and you wouldn't give it up. And you kept speaking to people. You're one of my jewels. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. And God's going to say, here, let me show you what you said and when you said it. And he can turn to the book. Whew. Do our words matter? Folks, do our words matter? Do they have an impact? Yeah, our words have an impact all over the place, man. They have an impact all over the place. When it comes to your words, understand where you are in the process. Sometimes I'm just planting seed. Sometimes I'm just watering. Sometimes I'm making sure the weeds don't get in. Amen? And then there's times where I'm putting action. I'm using this physical body to put action to those words. And then there's a harvest time. Still not done, but I'm going to quit. You gave me 20 more minutes. I'm not going to take another 20. Thank you, everybody, very much. Appreciate you. Did you get anything out of this today? Amen. I hope so. Sometimes I'm tempted to say when I ask that question, well, if you didn't, it's your own fault. Yeah, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Dorothy. It is. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you in here have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Amen. This is just so important. You have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know you've sinned. Every one of us in here know we've sinned. That's just a given, man. We know we have. Every one of us. Even the folks who crack jokes about it, they know they've messed up. We've all messed up. But Jesus Christ went to that cross for us, was made sin for us. He who knew no sin was made sin on my behalf, on your behalf, that you might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And man, when somebody cries out to Jesus and says, Jesus, help me, be my Lord, be my Savior, he forgives us. Amen? And we're born again. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. If you're in this place today and you've never done that, you've never said yes to Jesus, we're going to have a moment here where we pray for people concerning all kinds of things, whatever you might want prayer for. Maybe you just want someone to stand with you and hold your hands up. Maybe you just want someone to give you a hug and love on you a little bit. That's going to happen here in just a bit. Amen. So let's all go ahead and stand up. Babe, if the worship team would come on up. Glory to God. If you're in this building and you want prayer, come on up. And if the prayer team, folks that pray for people, if you guys would come on up, that'd be awesome. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And for folks visiting, the way we end the services here, I'm going to pray here in just a little bit. And as soon as I get done praying, it's like this. The service is officially over, even though ministry is still going on up here, even though a song is still being sung. At that point in time, you're free to slip out if you want to. If you got to go and you need to get out, you could just slip out and go, and it's totally okay. But yet there will still be people up here getting prayed for. And one of the reasons we do it this way is so that folks up here don't feel hurried or rushed. They can take their time to minister to people. And the folks in here who need to slip out and get going can slip out and get going. And the folks that want to just stay and keep the switch of faith turned on with the folks up here can do that as well. Amen? Hallelujah. It's one of my attempts to make everybody happy, because that's my calling in life, is to make everybody happy. No, but I still get sucked into that trap. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for being so good to us. And God, I just thank you. I love this about you, that even when we're wandering away, your plan, your desire is to get us back in the middle of your blessings, back in the middle of your abundance. And Father, help us to remember that one of the elements, it's not the only element, but it's one of the elements in getting back under your blessings, is the words that we speak with our mouth. The things that our lips say, the things that our tongue says. Father, help us turn the wheel. Help us turn the wheel in the direction that you want us to go, in the direction of your word. Help us to speak words of life over our children, over our spouse, over our friends, over our church, over our nation, over the politicians, Father. Help us. We need help. And you're always there. You're always there. So, Father, we thank you. We love you. We worship you and we praise you. Give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' precious, precious name, everybody says, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God.